Blog Talk Radio.
From the San Francisco Bay Area, it's time for Live from the Bay with Joey. Here's Joey.
Blog Talk Radio.
From the San Francisco Bay Area, it's time for Live from the Bay with Joey. Here's Joey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Live from the Bay with Joey. How are you doing this evening here? Coming from you from the San Francisco Bay Area, where the temperatures are really, really, really hot. We've had hot weather all week long, and it just seems like it's never going to let up. When we think it is, it just comes back. So anyway, you know what, folks? We're really excited because tonight with us here, we are pleased to have with us, from Live from the Bay with Joey, Barry Livingston, better known to millions as Ernie from the hit 60s television series, My Three Sons. And so this is really, really a pleasure to have Ernie with us. So I'm going to bring Barry Livingston. I'm going to bring Barry on, and we're kind of delayed in the studio right now, so give me a second here. Barry, are you there?
Yeah, Barry's here. Ernie is somewhere else.
Ernie's not there, huh? So how are
Ernie
you doing?
Left
are you...
the stadium. I'm doing great.
Great. I was telling people that it's really hot here in the Bay Area, and I imagine where you are. You're in California as well, right?
Yeah, Southern California, and it's hot.
It's hot weather too as well, huh?
Yeah, it's summer, you know, so it's to be expected. But you know, it's not so bad. It's going to get humid. When it gets humid, then we really get the, you feel it a lot worse. But it's not too bad down here.
Yeah, well, you know, here in Northern California, whereas you folks call us, you folks in Southern California call us NoCal, we've been having really, really hot weather. In excess of 100, so that's pretty hot for us. And
yeah.
So we've been in the news quite, you know, of course, because of our weather. And then, of course, you heard about the tragic incident at San Francisco Airport. Yeah, that was very sad.
Very bad.
And it, you know, still news is unveiling as we speak now. So we'll see what the outcome is. So, you know, Barry, I just wanted to start at the very beginning of your life, if that's okay. So I understand you were born in Los Angeles, is that correct?
Yes, I was. I was born in Hollywood. My parents, they were from back east. They were from Baltimore in Pennsylvania. But they came out here in the late 40s. They owned movie theaters, actually, in Baltimore. My dad did. And the movie business, the exhibition part of the movie business really took a tumble because of television. So they sold their movie theaters, and they came out. And, I was, you know, born in Hollywood on Formosa Avenue in West Hollywood. And it was like the early 50s. Yeah, it's right down the street, the Samuel Goldwyn Studios, which is a very prestigious studio in those days, made some really great movies. And so, yeah, I was, you know, I could see the studios from my crib.
Oh, how cool is that? Well, now, so if I understand correctly, so they sold their theaters back east. They moved out here. Now, did they ever get involved in any other part of the entertainment or motion picture industry?
Not really, no. You know, I mean, and we, my brother and I, who was also in my three sons, Stan Livingston, who played Chip, we just, you know, accidentally kind of stumbled into it, you know, by going to a swim school, and this was in the early, probably by then it was in the mid to late 50s, and big baby boom was happening, and a lot of Hollywood types, casting directors and producers and directors, and everyone was having babies, and they took them to the swim school to, you know, get them swimming, and it was there that my mother, you know, made some connections with people, not that she was looking to do that, but it just so happened that that was a place to be. And my brother was hired to do a stunt double thing for the little boy in Lassie, and that was actually his first experience with acting, and my family's first, you know, encounter with anything in Hollywood is in terms of being in front of the camera. And yeah, you know, a light bulb went off in my mom's head, and she went, "Well, you know, this is beats hanging around the pool all day. Let's get these kids in showbiz." And in those days, literally, you could just walk into Screen Actors Guild and sign up, give them $50, and you were a member. So one thing led to another, and the next thing you know, we were going on auditions. And my first film was a film with Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward called Rally Round the Flag Boys. And both Stan and I both were in that movie. We were playing their kids in it.
Wow. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Now, that was that. So when I was... you know, when I was actually researching some of this to talk to you, now that was that in 1958? Is that when that
I think that was
came?
When it was released. You know, I never know
I
myself,
see.
And this is a long time ago. I don't know whether that was. My guess is that's probably when it was released, and it was probably filmed the 6 months to a year prior, probably 57. So, yeah, you know, that was my auspicious beginning, actually, and of course, I have a book called The Importance of Being Ernie, and you can find it in Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com, that kind of thing. But it, you know, it really does go through my whole experience from the very beginning all the way through Three Sons, afterwards, and onward into my adult career as an actor. But that was the very beginning, and I was actually fired from that job because my eyes started to cross while I was working, and the producers got, you know, very worried something was wrong with my eyes and my head or whatever, and eventually they determined that I needed glasses, which became pretty much the signature of Ernie, you know, the big horn rim glasses. But I didn't start the movie with them, and somewhere in the middle I started to have a real problem with my eyes and required glasses, and then the producers saw Paul Newman's son would not look, you know, he of course would be as handsome as Paul, and glasses didn't fit the bill, so I was actually fired from my very first job. I'm still in the movie in the very first scene only because you see me upside down. It's Joanne Woodward had me by my feet and was tapping my head on the floor because I supposedly swallowed some coins. The rest of the movie, when the little boy, when the son is on his feet for the rest of the film, it's another kid. So movie magic.
Oh, how about that? Yeah. Now, I understand. Then you appeared in other series like Ozzie and Harriet, The Dick Van Dyke Show, The Lucy Show. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, I was already working pretty steadily at that point, and I was a regular recurring character on the Ozzie and Harriet Show. And so, yeah, I was making the rounds. You know, I was doing the Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet and did 2, 3, 4, 5 episodes a year for them. Dick Van Dyke was just another show, a Lucy show. I was actually at that point, I was a recurring character on My Three Sons, too. I wasn't I was a full-fledged son, but it was both were being shot on her studio, the Desilu Studios. And she used to see me kind of, you know, biking around a lot, and I think she was aware of me and asked that, you know, because I was under contract to the people that were shooting My Three Sons, but I wasn't a son, so I had a lot of free time. So they asked if she asked if I could come do an episode, and it was one of the more infamous episodes where I was actually recurring on that, which I was playing Gail Gordon, who played Mr. Mooney, her boss.
Right, I remember that. Uh-huh.
I was his son, and she decides to whatever show her, you know, how frugal she can be with her money, and she decides to give me a haircut and gave me a mohawk, and that was kind of the gag that she, you know, she gives the boss's son a mohawk, and that obviously is not going to play well with Mr. Mooney, and it was fun, you know. Lucy was already an idol of mine from the I Love Lucy shows, so
right.
It was a gas to work with her.
Yeah. You know, I'm not trying to date you here, but I remember seeing these. I don't remember because, you know, in 57, 58, even 61, I was really small, like a year old. So, but I remember seeing these shows later on, you know what I'm saying, years
sure,
later,
reruns.
Late 60s and reruns. I loved My Three Sons. I you know, that was awesome. Of course, the Dick Van Dyke Show and I Love Lucy. That was just, and I mean, they still play, you know, so it's just good, clean entertainment, and that, you know, I think a lot of people still love that, right? So,
well, I think that it's found its place, you know, in this gigantic world of television now, with cable and satellite and 9 million channels. There's something for everybody, and I think the people who love nostalgic TV, classic TV, I guess is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I hear that more and more, and often enough, that parents who are searching for just something they can sit and enjoy with the whole family, is that those shows were pretty non-threatening. They weren't, obviously they weren't depicting reality as we know it even then. But that was television in that era. And but
right.
Aside from that, it holds up as just entertainment. You know,
right.
It was, they were fun to watch and still are.
Yeah. Well, Barry, let's go back to My Three Sons. I want to know, what year did you actually join the cast of My Three Sons? Do you remember?
Yeah, I came in 64, probably early 64. Like I said, I was brought on as the friend next door.
Uh-huh.
And that's, you know, I did maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 episodes out of that year, and got to work with William Frawley, who was, you know, the Fred Mertz from I Love Lucy, who was played by
right.
My Three Sons. And
right.
Then he left the next season. He left because he was ill. And Tim Considine, who played the original oldest son, Mike, decided to leave the show. And so it, you know, left an opening for a new bub and a new
mm-hmm.
son. And
mm-hmm.
I was like the pitcher in the bullpen waiting for that call. And I don't know whether that was the plan early on
mm-hmm.
or whether it was just right place, right time. But, you know, they realized they had to have a kid and, you know, a new boy. And honestly, when I came onto the show, they never said boo about me being a foster child. And I didn't have real, you know, my biological parents. Nobody knew where it was. But that became the storyline when they were looking to fill the son's slot, that, oh, I just conveniently happened to be a foster child and my foster parents were leaving the country, and lo and behold, the Douglas family had an opening, and so I was then brought on as you know, there was six shows that dealt with the whole, you know, Ernie's a foster child, his parents are leaving, he's, the Douglas family is going to adopt him, and if you missed those six shows, you know, you'd go, who is this kid, and how did he get here, and what's he doing on the show now, and why is he a son? So, but again, that's, once I was in, that was never mentioned, you know, in the next 8 years of the show.
Mm-hmm. And how ironic, your brother played the other son.
Well, I
should
say,
right?
Yeah, my brother Stan and I worked together a few times. He preceded me on the Ozzie and Harriet show. He
mm-hmm.
was on as the kid next door, you know, one
mm-hmm.
of the guys in the neighborhood that Ozzie mm-hmm. palled around with. And so when he got cast as Chip on My Three Sons, which was in 1960, it again left a hole in Ozzie Nelson's lineup, and they knew that I was an actor, having seen me in The Errand Boy with Jerry Lewis and My Six Loves with Debbie Reynolds, and I did a film with Jackie Gleason, and so, you know, they saw me on the set with my brother a lot and just hanging out. So when Stan went on to do My Three Sons, the Nelsons, again, you know, it was kind of, I was just there, you know. There was no big magical, you know, being discovered at a soda fountain, Schwab's or anything.
Right,
I
exactly.
Was sort of eating a donut, you know, over on the side of the, craft service, just hanging out and you know, all the while Ozzy's looking at me going, I think I can use this kid. So it's funny how it works that way sometimes.
Yeah. Now, my three sons ended when, 1972, is that about right?
It's when it ended, yeah, 1972.
Mm-hmm. So then tell me, what happened after that? What did you move on to? Or did
happened after that. I mean, I determined pretty early on I wanted to be an actor. I wanted to take acting seriously, you know. I mean, a lot of my peers who were the child actors of that era, whatever, I don't know what their plans were. I think a lot of them just thought that you know, an acting career would just be handed to you because you were famous. And my parents drilled it into my head, you know, you've got to prepare. You know, if you really want a career, you've got to study. You've got to go learn how to sing and dance and blah, blah, blah. And, I bought into that. And I went to New York, worked in New York, worked on Broadway, off-Broadway, lived there for 3 or 4 years. Great education in life and great education in terms of acting. Studied with people like Martin Landau and Harold Klerman and, you know, Jack Garfine, some really prestigious, great acting teachers, Jeff Corey here in L.A. for a little while. And so, you know, I got some traction, you know, as an actor after my three sons and did The Streets of San Francisco. And it was,
how about that?
One of my favorite shows that I got to do. Ironsides, and did a bunch of movies of the week, another series for Universal called Sons and Daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And things then slowed down for me, you know. I mean, probably by the end of the 70s, I did hit a slow patch. And, challenging time, you know, just as a young person and as a young aspiring actor. It was a time to regroup, figure out who I was, how I was going to move on. And, that happens to most actors, but it's hard when you're a young person, having had such success as a child, and then sort of right in the middle of your 20s, everything, the bottom falls out, and you're not prepared or expecting it. That was the more challenging time of my life.
Right. Well, you know, one thing which I found interesting that I didn't know about was, did you play the character of Linus in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown?
Yeah, I did You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. In fact, that was, I think, the very first job I got after my three sons was playing Hallmark Hall of Fame, did the production of the famous play, and a big hit on Broadway. I think it was maybe a big hit off Broadway, but a huge hit for whatever. And I was cast as Linus and got to do all the stuff, work with some really great people, and we went to New York and did an album. it was quite a departure from playing Ernie, and that was terrific.
That is great. Well, now I understand. So you touched on the fact that you've been involved in Broadway and off-Broadway productions. So let me ask you about that. Do you enjoy that type of work versus TV, or do you enjoy both of them equally, or is there one you prefer more than the other?
I'm going to give you the standard classic actor's response.
Okay.
Right. I love it all.
I love it all, man.
but there's a certain gas, there's a certain thrill about doing things in front of people, and yes,
absolutely.
I would be very happy, you know, to pick up and traipse around the country with some kind of really nice production of whatever happened to come along my way. I would love to go back to New York and work on Broadway again. I would love to do, and I have been doing a lot of big films. I was just in Argo and The Social Network and You Don't Mess with Zohan and Zodiac.
Right.
This is a very San Francisco theme, and worked with people like David Fincher and Adam Sandler and Robert Downey. And so anyway, you know, I do like, you enjoy every one of these mediums for an actor in a different way. But I do love the stage. I love the rhythm of your life that, you know, every night you've got this thing to look forward to. And in the back of your head, it's, you know, during the day, you're sort of preparing for that night and, you know, and what worked the night before and other things you're going to try that night. And so there's something very exciting about that, to have that in your, to get to repeat something. You know, that's the problem that they don't have with film and television, is that you, you know, you get that one shot to get it, and you hopefully get it right, and you move on to the next. And once the movie's done or TV show, you're, you know, that's it. But, you know, there's the beauty of having to get to polish something and do it over time. That's the thrill.
You know, that's awesome, Barry. You know, we've been talking about your acting career, and I want to get back to that, but I do want to, you know, you've been in this business for over 50 years, and since you were a child, but now I want to know about the personal side of Barry Livingston. So what makes you move and groove? So I understand you live in L.A. with your wife. You have two children. I understand that one of your kids is involved in music. Is that right?
Yeah, he's got an album, a solo album coming out July 16th, and it's called Grow. And
July 16th? Is that what you said?
Yeah,
funny, that's my mom's birthday. So,
it's in honor of your mother, obviously.
Yeah, exactly right. So the album is called, again?
Grow, G-R-O-W, and it's got some fantastic people playing on it. So Ken Pantengale from the Milk Carton Kids, I don't know if you're aware who they are, but they're a very terrifically talented duo that's just starting to take off in their career. And some, you know, Lucinda Williams band, some guys from that are playing, you know, and he's just about to embark on an East Coast tour as well. They're going to, and I think he's going to be playing up in Nevada City, which is not too far from somewhere up north, at the end of August. But they have a more extended tour that's going to hit Boston and New York and some other towns back east, and that starts in about a week and a half. And his name is Spencer Livingston, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you next. So Spencer,
yeah,
that
he's
helps,
got a great.
Right?
If you go to YouTube, there's a really cool animated video that's up there that's for the single "Have a Little Faith." And so, yeah, just go to YouTube, type in Spencer Livingston, "Have a Little Faith," and it's a very cool animated thing that they put up, and it gives you a taste of. The music is in the Americana kind of, folk rock country kind of vein, and he's terrifically talented, way more talented.
Oh, that's awesome!
I'm a musician too, so he
me
got
too.
It.
So that, you know, I'm a musician as well, so that always catches me. You know, when I heard about that, I was like, yeah. So what do you now? You said you're a musician. What do you play?
I'm a guitar player, but I can play a little piano, and I like writing songs, and my wife and I have had a band that we kind of bang around with, and, you know, we don't do it as much as we used to. We two or three times a year. There's a place down in L.A. that we like to play at called Genghis Cohen, and very, very nice little club with a restaurant and a beautiful little concert hall, and so, yeah, we just, you know, we do that to keep our chops up and play our newest little ditties that we come up with, and friends come and get to see, you know, friends, family, and whoever else shows up. So, that's what turns me on. I love to do music, love to sing,
the type of music that you folks do is what?
It's, you know, kind of in the folk rock thing. I mean, it's funny that's become very trendy and very hip again, and of course, you know, I grew up with Simon and Garfunkel, and I grew up with Dylan and Cat Stevens, and all of those bands have sort of, you know, turned the corner, and the new versions of those are Iron and Wine and the Milk Carton Kids, and, you know, the Lumineers, and all these other bands that are, you know, kind of delving into the folk rock country genre and becoming, you know, huge stars, Mumford and Sons. So, you know, I mean, oddly enough, we were doing that 25, 30 years ago, and it's, you know, gone through all the different genres, but that's what we do, and oddly enough, has become kind of the hip thing again. So, not that I'm trying to exploit or follow any fashion, it's just that's what we do. So,
You know, it's hard, and, you know, being a musician myself, and I sing and I play keys and record all that, but it is hard to, when you're a singer and a songwriter and you have a band, it's really hard, as you know, you have in a band, it's hard to get a group of people together and work constantly, and you have to deal with so many egos. It does teach you a lot. It does teach you a lot, and, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything, and I still keep in touch with all my, you know, my former lead guitarist, guitarist, bass player, drummers, backgrounds. You know, all of us still keep in touch, and
yeah.
and we haven't played for 20 plus years.
Right.
And I still do studio work, but it's, you know, there's still great memories that you can always take with you. It's good that you continue this and that you continue playing and doing your music and stuff like that. I think that's so important. You know, keeping your chops up is very, very important. So that's,
yeah, I think it's just, you know, I have an artist's bent to my personality, and I like to express that in writing songs and in acting, and I just like to keep busy and creative. And again, I wrote a book. I mean, I wrote The Importance of Being Ernie as sort of an expression of, I wanted to put down on paper memories of growing up in Hollywood, and certainly recollections of even the more recent projects of working on shows like Mad Men and, you know, Two and a Half Men and
and a Half Men before Charlie lost his mind there, right?
Before he lost his mind.
Yeah, just before he went out on his rant, yeah. So
yeah, that was pre-rant. But
yeah.
Charlie, I think, was already fairly dissatisfied. And Charlie, I have no bad rap on him at all.
He's a great guy,
things, and you go, hey, I worked with him, and he was complete professional and gentleman to me.
Absolutely.
We had a wonderful chat, and you know, and I got to just speak from my own personal experience. I got nothing, no axes to grind whatsoever. That said,
well, you know,
there was a lot of bad feelings between him and the other powers that be. So that's their issues.
Well, I'll tell you, that used to be one of my favorite shows, and you know, there's something about once he left, it's not the same to me. You know,
yeah.
I mean, having watched it after, it's just not the same. But, you know, I've seen a lot of interviews that he's done and how he's interacted with people. And like you said, he's just been very professional, kind, nice. And we all have, you know, points in our careers and lives that we just maybe lose it for a while. And then, you know, the thing is that we come back. So that's, that's the most important thing. And, so I got an idea that you like doing your music. You like doing, okay, so let me ask you, do you and your wife, do you guys cook together? Is there something that you like to cook? Are there any favorite restaurants? I always like to know this about people as well.
I think the thing, I like to cook and she likes to cook, but I'll tell you the thing that we've gotten into recently and we've done it before is, We like to renovate things. We've worked on our house here where I live in the San Fernando Valley, and I can work on plumbing things, and I can do, you know, tile work, and I know how to work steel saw and power tools. And Karen, my wife, likes to do that too. She loves, like, you know, taking something and repurposing lamps, you know, finding vases. That's her latest thing. She's been finding, you know, just beautiful vases that people, you know, but you flip them over and you kind of wire them the right way, they turn into really spectacular looking hanging lamps. But we actually bought a house not too long ago, and we have been applying our carpenter and other skills to renovating that. So that's, there's something I would be very happy just doing that. You know, I love to act, and I hope it continues for me. But that's just something, another side of Barry Livingston that I had to discover over time. I didn't know I could do that probably till, like, you know, met my father-in-law. He kind of was the one who introduced me to all this kind of stuff, and I went, it's kind of fun, and I don't mind hammering, you know, and putting up I've done a lot of work on our house, and hopefully I haven't devalued it in any way, but it's been fun doing it.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, there must be some great pleasure out of doing something like that and then just kicking back and just going, wow, you know, I didn't have anybody else do that. I did that myself, you know.
I still, as a kid. We built a huge room, and then honestly, I had some people come in and do the bigger kind of framing things and put in, you know, gigantic headers, but we built this huge room, and it was mainly going to be a music room, you know, but it's 400 square feet. And but, you know, I put in the ceiling, and I put down the tile, and I put in a fireplace and put the tile around it. And I swear, every time I walk through that room, I still look at it, and I'm going, it's a pretty nice-looking room. And, I did this, you know. I didn't just hire somebody, and they came in, and I paid everyone a nice princely sum. You know, there's a lot of sweat and blood in this room here because I probably hammered my thumb a few times. So,
absolutely.
You know, yeah, there is that kind of afterglow of, you know, a job well done.
Yeah. You know, in hearing this, you know, I go back to, of course, I'm not as handy as you are. I don't work on my own. And I mean, I may do some minor things, but I remember as a kid, you know, taking wood shop, right? And I remember making, like, chessboard tables and bookcases and wine racks and all this kind of stuff. And I'll tell you, years later, I look at that, and I'm like, wow, you know, that was pretty good for a kid that was 12 or 13 years old, you know?
Yeah.
And so
you got to get the right tools.
Right. But it makes
you know,
when
you're in woodshop, they give you everything. And then you got to, if you want to pursue that as a hobby, you got to invest a little in that.
Right. But it does make you feel really, really special. Now, let's go back to, you talked about some of the movies that you've been in. Now, as you know, Facebook is right here in my backyard in the San Francisco Bay Area. So the social network, that was about Facebook, wasn't it? That was in 2010. That was about Facebook, right?
Yeah, social network was about the evolution of Facebook and Zuckerberg and his buddies at Harvard who got the idea and kind of ran with it and how it exploded into this worldwide phenomenon.
Right. Now, so you had a role. Tell me about your role that you were in Facebook.
I was,
early
in the movie, when Zuckerberg gets the idea of putting together some kind of a rating system of girls. You know, that's what the impetus was, to rate all the girls at Harvard. And anyway, he hacks into the Harvard mainframe computers, and I play the head of Harvard computer security. He's overloads the entire system where it crashes, and so I am the guy who has to bust his chops, but of course, you know, he puts me in my place because he's much smarter than I am. So yeah, it was a fun little role. This is the second time I got to work with David Fincher, who's a terrific director, and it was amazing. You know, the film came out, got nominated, won a few Oscars, and then likewise, it was quite amazing journey this last year to have been cast in Argo, and that actually went on to win the Best Picture this year. So, nice little bookends to my career, having my three sons at the very early parts, and being a participant in some very nice prestigious projects.
Awesome. Very great. Now, tell me, again, for our viewers, is there a website that they can go on to keep in touch with what's going on with Barry Livingston? Do you have a website? And tell them again how they can order a copy of your book, Importance of Being Ernie.
Well, that's the perfect lead-in. The only website I really have is, and I do go on there and interact occasionally, but it's theimportanceofbeingernie.com. All one word, theimportanceofbeingernie.com. And right there, it'll tell you a little bit about the book, show you some pictures. There's some excerpts from the book if you want to read my encounter with Elvis Presley. And I don't forget even what else is on there. But, you know,
with Elvis Presley?
Yeah, I had a fun little moment where I met Elvis and we took a limo ride together, and go to the website. You can read all about it.
How amazing! Yeah.
You know, unexpected kind of just one of those weird things. You're on a movie studio lot, and I was filming My Six Loves with Debbie Reynolds, and I just bumped into him. You know, he had had a limousine that was just customized by Chuck Barris, delivered to him, and we struck up a conversation, and he invited me to take a little spin around the lot, and it was fun. You know, it was
wow.
Amazing,
I, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. You know, it just again, right place, right time, and it was wonderful. just to have that kind of moment with somebody, you know, who was, you know, such a guy who changed the world in such an enormous way. So yeah, it was cool.
Absolutely, and the reason I was so interested in about that is we're going to actually be doing a two-part series on him, because you know there are some people that do believe that he's still alive, you know. And some, did you know that? Of course. And then there's
I've heard there's rumor.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting, and I actually know people and have friends in Nashville that were very good friends of his, and, you know, I do know of the fact that he was a very giving person, and just a really, just an honorable and just giving gentleman, you know, so that's just an awesome thing. So hopefully when we do that show, it'll be interesting. But anyway, I'm always interested in hearing stories about Elvis, so thanks, for sharing that. And then, of course, you've been on, like you mentioned, you know, Mad Men, 2.5 Men, Grey's Anatomy, Desperate Housewives, Monk, Big Love. You were on Big Love?
Yeah, I was a recurring character on that. I played Harry Dean Stanton's lawyer in a cycle of shows when he was in trouble.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, that was a good one.
And Will and Grace, in fact, we just had, and I love her, Shelley Morrison, who was with Will and Grace. She played Rosario. She was with us, and I know both her and her husband really well. So so that was interesting. So you were on Will and Grace as well, the West Wing.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And then
the
tell
Purgatory
me.
Purgatory and Revenge, and I just did an episode of The Fosters, which I think is, I don't know if that episode's aired yet. Actually, I've done a slew of movies, too, for the Hallmark Channel, and I've got
mm-hmm.
one coming up on July 27th called Second Chances.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's that about?
It's about a guy who's a fireman who has some little problem. He has an accident and can't work in his profession, and he hooks up with this 911 dispatcher who's having life issues, and I play her boss in that, and you know, it's you know, Hallmark does very kind of wholesome entertainment, and
mm-hmm.
you know, that's kind of the gist of it.
That's great,
love abounds.
Yeah, well, and you know, and then Adam Sandler, let's go back to that. He cast you for Don't Mess with a Zohan, is that right?
Yeah.
And so what was that like?
That was cool, and there is a story to that, and, you know, wrote about it in the book as well. But I just was on the lot down at Sony one day. I was actually doing an episode of a show called The Guardian, which was Emilio Estevez was directing at that
mm-hmm.
point.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was just, you know, walking around, and I knew that his offices were on that set, on that lot, and I had done Dickie Roberts for his company, Happy Madison. And, you know, I'm pretty proactive and always got my ear to the ground trying to hustle up another job. And I thought, well,
mm-hmm.
you know, wouldn't it be nice if I could actually pop into his office and just say hi and, you know, whatever. You never know. Sometimes you get thrown out in your ear and sometimes not. But I went over to the Happy Madison offices and nobody was there. It was lunch. And I say, well, whatever, you know. But as I was leaving, Adam comes speeding up in a golf cart, covered in sweat, you know, towel around his neck. He just played basketball, and he's got a nice little basketball court that they've built for him on the lot.
Oh,
and
nice.
I thought, well, okay, you know, wow, here we go, right time, right place. So
boy.
I kind of said, hey, Adam, I don't know if you know me or whatever. I was in Dickie Roberts, and just wanted to say thanks for putting me. Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. Oh, man, oh, you are we love My Three Sons. Oh, man, that was my favorite. Oh, wow, oh, it's so great to meet you. I was like, wow, well, thanks, man. I love to be in one of your movies. Oh, sure, I'll put you in one of my movies. Oh, yeah, no problem. I was like, oh, okay, you know. And from that point on, probably, I don't know, he maybe had 3-4 movies that he did, and I'd get a call, you know, to come and read. And I didn't get any
amazing.
Of those other movies, but the Zohan movie was being cast, and again, I got a call to come and read, and then I got an offer to come and do the next stage, to come to a table read, and everybody was there, you know, all the stars of the movie, and John Turturro and Adam and, you know, whoever else was in the film, Dave Matthews, and I was like, wow, you know, this is cool. And then Adam, you know, comes up to me, because I hadn't been cast yet, you know, they just go, come to the reading, you're not cast, but please come to the reading. I was like, oh, great. And I, you know, I'm in that weird position of not, you know, I've got to act here well, but I don't want to look like I'm overacting either because it's just a reading. But he comes up, you know, feel a tap on my shoulder, and they say, "Oh, Barry, hey, yeah, yeah, glad you could come, man." And I was like, and he goes, "See, see, I told you I'd get you something good. I'd get you something good, didn't I?" And it was really actually a pretty nice part. And, you know, I was just like, Jesus, this is 5 years later, whatever it was. And, you know, he didn't forget. You know, the guy was a man of his word. He told me 5 years earlier, you know, he'd find something for me. And the guy, you know, has I don't know how many projects he's writing and producing and starring. And, you know, he somehow kept it in his mind that any time his movie was being cast, to tell casting people, you know, bring Barry in and you know, let's find a part for him. So, you know, I don't know.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know, I've heard some really good things about him as well. You know, you hear stories through people, and he's just another really good soul, you know?
He is.
And,
yeah, honest as the day is long, you know, no BS. He will, if you're an extra on the set and you're lunchtime and there's not a seat at the table and everyone's there, he's the first guy to get up and give you his seat. I swear to God,
yeah.
Guys, that's the kind of heart he has. He's a beautiful man.
Yeah, you know, and I've heard that through so many different people. And having done films in the past and having done extra work, and as you know, you get a chance to meet some of these stars. And some of them are just not as maybe kind and nice and, you know, as maybe this guy is. And, mm-hmm. you know, that word gets around. So
yeah.
I've had
no,
a couple
the word
of people,
on Adam, you know, I've
oh,
heard that
no,
over and over, and
person.
I can,
yeah.
I'm here to... To testify
to yeah,
that it's
absolutely.
The truth, and you know, and I have worked with some people that weren't so nice too. So you know, you see it all. You see it all.
But people like him make such a difference, you know, in the world. They really do. You know,
well,
it's
in
just,
his
it's,
world too, because that makes everybody work harder. You know, you want to do well because you want to just go, this guy's got my back, you know, I'm going to give him 120%, you know, not that I wouldn't anyway, but you
right.
just, in your heart, you go, I want this to go well, so well, you know, I really want this to go well for him, and I don't know whether that's just the offshoot of you, pay it forward, I guess, you know, he deserves it, and I hope he does well and continues to hire me is what I really hope.
Yeah. And then, I mean, of course, you know, when you were seen in this, like what you had talked about, this Academy Award winning film Argo, I mean, that must have just been so awesome as well.
Well,
I
that,
mean, in your
again,
career.
That sort of came out of, I got a call one day and to go in to meet with the, you know, the vice president of casting of feature films of Warner Brothers, which that's not a call I usually get. And I went, whoa, okay, that's unusual, but let's go, you know, that's cool. And then anyway, Laura Kennedy, who's that person, said, well, you know, Ben asked for you. He said he saw the Social Network and he, you know, asked that I'd be brought in, which I'd never met him before. But I thought, well, oh, you know, that's that's good news. And, yeah, that was, you know, and then she told me that I'd never heard that crazy story before about, you know, how the CIA posed as, you know, filmmaker and going into Iran during that really, really terrible time when the hostages were being held and got those people out early on, you know, that was just, I went, wow, you're kidding, that's, what an incredible story, you know, and it just, I just went, this is going to be a great movie. If they don't screw this up somehow, this is going to be, just has everything that a movie has to have to be great. You know, it just had the historical thing. It had the tension of somebody going into a dangerous, exotic land and pretending to be somebody he isn't, and the time clock, ticking clock to get these people out. And, you know, it was just, you know, it was just crazy. So, and then that was another one of those movies. I was cast pretty early on, and then that part got cut. And I was like, oh, no. But Laura, you know, called me, but home said, you know, Ben said, would you do this other part? Like, I'd say no, you know, which is crazy, but he's a very decent guy too. And she said, it's actually a better part. I said, well, you know, am I gonna, can't say no to that, right? And It's very nice. It was a great part. Frankly, it got pretty severely cut in the final edit, but I understood why. You know, it was move the plot forward, and but I'm in it, and it was just, you know, a thrill to be part of something like that, and to be asked to be in it was even more exciting.
Sure. Well, it has been truly a joy to talk to you and talk about your career, of course, starting early on to where you are today, talking about your home life. And again, we want to mention your son's album again, Spencer Livingston, and the album is called, again, Grow, right?
Right.
Is that correct?
Yep.
And people can, and people can Google this. They can go on Google and find out all about it. His album CD is going to be released July 16th. I remember that very well.
You can hear the single from it called Have a Little Faith. It's up on YouTube.
Have a Little Faith.
See the video. It's a very cool little video.
That's cool.
Very proud of him. He deserves everyone's attention because he's going to be you're going to hear from him. He's got talent.
That's awesome. And then, folks, again, if you're interested in grabbing hold a copy of Barry Livingston's autobiography, The Importance of Being Ernie. Again, give that URL again where they can go to online. Again, it is Barry.
TheImportanceOfBeingErnie.com, and that will give you the information. And you know, if you choose to, you can go find a link. It'll take you to Amazon, and you can purchase it there. Or you can just go straight to Amazon if you want. But yeah, it'd be very cool. I appreciate that.
That's awesome. And again, from time to time, you go on there. So if people are interested in communicating with you, they can communicate with you there. You're not on Twitter or anything, then?
No, Facebook. But you know, I got one Facebook, one that's already full up with fans. But I've got a Barry Livingston 2. Which is like the numeral 2.
Yes.
And I still have many, you know, I think I have 1,500. The other one's over, you know, 5,140 friends or something, which I don't know how that happened. You're only supposed to have 5,000. But the other one, you know, I go on there regularly and try to do what I can to keep people at least, you know, aware of what I'm doing and post some pictures and things like that. So, yeah, you know, that's a place that I can be found online.
All right. Well, Barry, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. And it sounds like, I mean, you know, it's so cool. You've had 50-plus years of a career, and, you know, you're still going strong. So, I mean, that's just awesome. And thanks so much for joining with us this evening. And we'll look forward to seeing more of you on the screen, okay?
Thank you so much, Joey. All right, you guys stay cool up there.
All right, we will try. You as well.
All right. Talk soon.
Take care.
Thank you.
All right,
bye.
So, folks, that was so wonderful having Barry Livingston join us. Again, you want to make sure you go to his website, TheImportanceOfBeingErnie.com. You want to make sure, keep, you know, abreast to his happenings. Get a hold of a copy of his book with the same name, and as he told you, you can go to Amazon.com and pick up a copy of that as well. Anyway, look forward to talking to you folks really soon. Keep watch on our show site because some really interesting shows coming up. Of course, we're going to be doing that show on Elvis. It's going to be a two-part series. We do have part two of the Sephardic Jews, that whole series coming soon as well. A lot more celebrities, country singers coming up, so you gotta check that out. Some comedians, some great other artists, some other famous stars coming. So make sure you stay with us. Make sure you listen in. Make sure you join up with us. If you want to drop me a line, livewithjoey@hotmail.com, or you can drop me a line here on the show. Make sure you link up with us. And on the show page, it gives you my Twitter and all the other information that you need on me. And anyway, it was a pleasure having you join me tonight. It was a pleasure great pleasure speaking to Barry Livingston, Hollywood legend. 50 plus years of a career. How awesome is that? So till the next time, this is Joey saying take care, and we'll talk and see you soon.
Thank you for joining us today on Live from the Bay with Joey.